Psalm 55. I want to draw your attention this morning to the verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. This verse highlights the theme that I considered with you last Lord's Day morning, the importance of prayer. And we're continuing that theme this morning. Clearly the psalmist here, by these words, is saying prayer to God, to him, is important. It's very central in his life, isn't it? Evening and morning and at noon will I pray. David uses two verbs to describe his talking to God. I pray and I cry aloud. And these words, they imply something that's going on inside him. Yes, it's prayer to God and it's crying aloud to God, but the words themselves express the idea that there's something going on inside his heart and his mind. Because the first implies there's a musing, there's a meditation, there's deep thoughts. I muse, I pray to God. There's a lot going on in him. And this whole psalm gives us an idea what's going on in him, and we're not going to go into all of that, but it's a very difficult time, a very trying time, and he's a lot of thoughts, and he prays to God out of that all. And the second verb implies that he is distressed within. I cry aloud. There's a crying out of agitation, out of something going on within him, some troublesome thoughts, distress even. I cry aloud. These verbs, while they express prayer, they are also expressing agitation within, or deep thought within. The musing and the meditation that leads to prayer is not always sweet. It certainly isn't when there's a Judas-like character in your life, as David finds himself, a friend who has turned, one who he confided in, has become a bitter enemy to him. It's distressed him. He prays to God. He cries. He cries out of trouble, yes. But notice, and this is a remarkable thing, it's a daily thing that he does it. Not just when he has a Judas character in his life. Evening, morning, at noon, he's saying daily, every evening, every morning, every noon, he cries and prays unto God. And of course, it wasn't every day he had a Judas character in his life. He's telling the Lord, I'm always at your door. I'm always praying to you. I'm always crying aloud to you. You know this. We saw this last week. He told the Lord this. I pray daily to you, Lord. Every day, David is poor and needy, and he has to knock at God's door. Every day, he muses, and he has to cry unto the Lord aloud, out of his trials in life. Every day. Not only did he do it every day, he did it thrice daily. The Bible talks about the hour of prayer. These were his hours of prayer. Not that he prayed for an hour long, necessarily. It might not have been as long as an hour, but he had these set hours, these set times, that he laid aside a space in the day three times to pray and cry aloud unto God. Now, in between times, of course, as I said last week, he would no doubt breathe prayers quickly unto the Lord. He would often say, Lord, help me. Lord, give me light on this matter. He would often be breathing, praying without ceasing. But he had these three times set apart for prayer. And we know that Daniel did the same, three times a day. We think also the Lord and his apostles did this too. So clearly what we're trying to say this morning and remembering you of is that prayer is important. Three times a day.
It must be important to David. It must be something essential. And last week, we really only got one reason covered for why prayer is important. And it's important because God commands it. He not only commands it frequently, he commands it persistently, he commands it earnestly, he commands it with incentives and with promises and encouragements to draw us out to this matter. So it's clearly important to God. And if it's important to God that we pray, it must be important, and therefore it must be important to us. But then we ask, why is it so important? I mean, I can get that God commands it, and he is wise and he knows best, but I should like to know why it's so important to God and to us. Why the wisdom of God is such that it finds it necessary to call us to this often. And I have to say, God doesn't tell us to pray for selfish reasons in him. The reasons for prayer and the importance of prayer are not in God. They're in us. It's not God saying, I need prayer. I need you to call upon me. I need to hear your voice, as if God has some kind of ego that needs to be satisfied. That's not why God calls us. No, God has all in himself, in his triune being. He has all love, all goodness, all fellowship that he needs in his three persons. He is being infinitely complete. And he doesn't need our prayers. But he commands it in his goodness to us. We need prayer. God knows it. And it's out of his goodness, out of his kindness, his marvelous kindness to his creatures that he has made, that he calls us to seek him. God needs nothing. He imparts to us. He doesn't receive from us. Now, another reason of the importance is hinted at in the way David says this text. Evening, morning, and at noon. David is talking about the day hours. He doesn't say night. He sleeps at night. The hours of being awake. The night hours you sleep. Even then, of course, David did arise at times and prayed even in the night hours. He said, at midnight, I'll rise and give thanks to thee. He said, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. He says, my nights prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. So there were night seasons too, but ordinarily, throughout the day, he has these regular appointed hours of prayer. It's like meal times, isn't it? That's what he's sort of kind of talking here. Evening, morning, at noon, he's talking meal times. And to David, prayer's like eating, as regular as eating. And no doubt he's drawing an allusion to that. We have breakfast, lunch, dinner, or tea and supper. And that brings us into the next reason for the importance of prayer. It is to the soul what food is to the body. Prayer is important because it is to the soul what food is to the body. Now, last week I gave you an illustration for God commanding us to pray. This commanding us to pray is like the parent commanding the child to eat regularly. Eat healthy food. The child doesn't know the importance of eating necessarily. Doesn't know the importance of eating right food and the proper food and the healthy food. But the parent keeps saying, eat this, this is healthy, this is wholesome, this do this. Eat your dinner, eat your veg. Don't eat that rubbish, but eat this wholesome food. And it's because it's important. The parent commands the child. But the parent doesn't say to the child about vitamins and minerals and supplements and all of that. The parent doesn't explain it. But out of the goodness and love, the parent commands the child this. And that's what our Heavenly Father does. He doesn't always explain it. but he commands it. We don't maybe understand why prayer is important, but it is. It does something to the soul, something that the soul needs. We are sure it's something that the soul needs because God says, pray without ceasing. Do it now, my child. Seek ye my face. It's important. And so this argument really follows on from that illustration about the child having to eat the good food daily. Food is regular and daily vital for the body. But prayer is more important than that, because prayer is for the soul as well as for the body. We can't live by food alone. We can't. The sinner out there who just eats his food and goes through his food, he thinks that's giving to him is the life, the sustenance, all that he needs. No, it's not. Man shall not live by bread alone. There's more than food, because there's more than the body. There is the life of the body, which is more than physical. There's a soul. There is our spirit. And God says, I am the Lord. I brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide. I'll fill it. So God is like the parent bird to his redeemed children. He has saved them. He has brought them to himself out of Egypt. He has put them in the nest of his flock. And they need his support. They need his sustenance and life. The need for body and soul. And so the vital thing is to open your mouth. Like a little bird, a little chick. I'll fill it. We must have mouths wide open. We must have this dependence upon our God. He gives us our sustenance. He gives us our life. He sustains body and soul. Now the birds, they open their mouths by nature. They naturally do it. But to us who are fallen sinners, sadly, it is not nature to pray. This instinct to pray and to seek God seems to have gone at the fall. And grace awakens it. And grace helps us. And grace teaches us to open our mouth wide for God to fill it. And God has to command us to do that, because grace accompanies the command of God. Seek ye my face, call upon my name, open your mouth. Why? That's why he calls us and commands us to do this, because it's not natural to us. It must be by grace. And the word comes in grace, commanding us, but also empowering us to do this. And we don't know its importance, but God does. And when God calls us and commands us to this, we must grasp the importance and do it. Now, I quoted Psalm 81, open your mouth wide and fill it. It's often quoted, but the next verse isn't often quoted. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Verse 11, but my people would not hearken to my voice. Do you remember how we saw that in the psalm? You hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Here's God saying, I commanded them, I said, open your mouth wide, call upon me, but my people would not listen to my voice. And that, sadly, that's often the case in the Christian church and with Christians. God's face is not sought the way it should. God's company in prayer does not always seem to be the most attractive thing to the people of God. The prayer meeting is the least attended meeting in the church. The prayer closet seems to be the least visited room in the home. It should not be so. Prayer is important. And God calls it to us if you hear my voice. In bird feeding, it's mouth to mouth. Open thy mouth wide, I'll fill it. The parent bird uses the mouth too and fills the mouth. It's mouth to mouth. And prayers like that, close to God, near to God, coming near to God, looking to God, to God's face towards the child of his, the believer, and in answer to prayer, open mouth, the Lord filling with his blessing. Now we're fed through eye and ear gate, we're fed through the word. I know that the word of God is very important, but we also must live near to God, because the word doesn't do us any value really. So many people have the Bible, don't get anything out of it. Why? Because they're not living near to God. It's not mouth to mouth, not seeking his face. We have to live near to God. We must be taught to cry unto God. That's why he said to the people of God, he said, God humbled thee, he suffered thee to hunger, he fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That's how we live. We don't live by the farmer, and we don't live by the people who cultivate the orchards. We live by the mouth of the Lord, who commands his providence and gives us all these things. So I'm not just talking that he gives us his word out of his mouth. He does give us his word out of his mouth. But everything that we enjoy comes in his providence by the command of his mouth and his providence. And we get it that way too. It's all from God. Give us each day our daily bread. We don't pray that to the farmer. We pray that to the Lord. We don't pray that to the shopkeeper. To the Lord. It's the Lord who gives us all these things, and we must seek him. The Bible is the God-breathed out word, but it has to come from his mouth. It's not just enough to read the text. It has to come by his spirit. It has to be still the inspired word, the living word, coming from his mouth. And we only experience that at his face. So many get nothing from the Bible. Why? It's because they're not seeking God. It's because they're not praying to him. Not asking him. You have not because you ask not. Not out of his mouth. Our souls need God. That's what I'm saying. It's prayers like food to the soul. Getting the life. And prayer is more important than eating. Why? Because the soul is more important than the body. Eating is the life of the body. But prayer is the life of the soul. Without food, our body dies. And without prayer, our soul withers and dies. Prayer quickens because it prays to the living God. Let thy word quicken me. The word quickens us because we pray that it will quicken us. So you see the distinction, the word does it. But there has to be this contact with God by prayer in order to that. So prayer prays this. Give me life. Quicken me. Make my soul live and fresh. Well, maybe you ask, well, why is the soul more important than the body? And I don't want you to think in terms of two parts. We're one. But we have to recognize that there is a duality about us, body and soul. And the soul is the life of the body. And when the soul departs, the body dies. It's in the union of the body and soul that the body lives. So the soul really is the seat of the life. The soul is you. Your body is you as well. Whenever I talk to you, I don't say, how's your body doing? How's your soul doing? How are you doing? I'm talking about you as a person. But your soul is really your personality, the seat, as it were, of your body. And that needs nourishment, direct from God by prayer. Your body decays because we sinned. Death came. We have to suffer that. But there's resurrection. We get a new body. But you don't get a new soul. Your soul is you. You don't get a new soul at the resurrection. You get your soul joined to your new body in the resurrection. That's what you get. And that's why the soul is more important than the body. The soul needs to be in contact with God, at his face. And we hope for a new body at the resurrection, but our soul must be purified now and sanctified now. And only God can do that. And to that end, you must perpetually seek God, the living God who is your life in Jesus Christ. You must cry like this in our text. I pray and cry aloud. You do want a withering soul. You will get a withering body, but God spare us from a withering soul. And we need God's Holy Spirit. We need God's Holy Word. We need God's grace. How do we obtain all of that? By praying and crying aloud unto God. That's the importance of prayer. That's how essential it is. And another reason for the importance of prayer is that it is just the right and reasonable response to God. Almighty God, our Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer, it's the right response to God to pray. You notice in our text that there are three pronouns. I pray, he shall hear my voice. So there's two of these pronouns in relation to David. I pray, my voice. And the other pronoun relates to God. He shall hear my voice. Now, whenever David says this text, it's like he's talking to us. It's not like he's talking to God. He doesn't say, thou wilt hear my voice. He says, he will hear my voice. He's talking to us. He's telling us, he says, evening, morning, at noon, I pray, I cry aloud unto God, and he will hear my voice. Now, what I'm saying is, to David, God is a reality. To David, God is present. He has his friends around him. He's talking to his friends. Evening and morning, noon, I pray, he hears my voice. Do you see that? God is present in the room. God is real to him. Very real to him. And the right response to God is to talk to him, to speak to him. He hears my voice. I don't only use my voice to talk to you, men and women, my fellow man. He hears my voice too. I talk to him. You see, David is real and his friends are real. They have existence. They have reality. But to David, God has the greatest reality of all. God is more real than anything to David. There are people who say, oh, I live in the real world. I've no time for prayer. You know the saying, too heavenly minded to be of any earthly use, and all of this nonsense. I have to deal with the reality. I'm here in this world in the present. I have to live in that reality, the real world, the here and now, what I see and what I hear. Well, that's not David, because in his real world, God is there. To David, God is a present reality. God is real to David. In fact, God is the reality. There is no reality outside and apart from him because he creates all. He sustains all. He is the upholder of any reality that we experience. And so therefore, God is the greatest reality. And you're not living in reality if you ignore God. Prayer is the right response to reality, to the great reality. God is more real to David than his wife is real to him, than his friends are real to him. God is so near. And what does David use in his prayer? What's essential in prayer? a voice, my voice. He has a voice. God gave him a voice. And prayer is voice to God. And God hears David's voice as man does. So what David is saying, I don't just communicate with my fellow men. I communicate with my God. He hears my voice. He cannot talk all the time to men and forget God. That's not his real world. He can't ignore God. Even in the morning, noon, I'll pray, I cry aloud, and you'll hear my voice. Not to talk to God is to be an atheist. At least an atheist is consistent. An atheist says there's no God, he doesn't talk to him because there's no God to him. He's consistent. But a believer who says there is a God, God's the greatest reality in his life, and yet he doesn't talk to him. How inconsistent that is. A believer should be, there's a God who is all, through all, in all, and over all, and I have to talk to him more than I talk to anybody else. That's what a believer ought to be. A prayerless believer is illogical, a contradiction. He made you, and you know it, and yet you don't talk to him. How illogical is that? It's not the right response to the great reality. He's redeemed you as a Christian. You're his child and you don't talk to him. He hardly hears your voice. You've heard the saying about ignoring the elephant in the room. There are people like that. The largest thing in there in the room and they ignore it as if it's not there. Well, God is the greatest reality in the room. And it's peck ignorant and rude to talk to everybody and not talk to him, the Almighty, in the room. That's why the prayer meeting is so important. We can't ignore God. He ought to be the great reality to us. Prayer is the right response to him. And prayerlessness is just ignoring him and offensive to him. If this world that is here by itself is all that there is, and there's nothing more, then just talk to your fellow creatures. But if the world is God's world that he has made for us to live in and to get to know him in, then we had better talk to him. And we had better use our voice to him. Isaiah said, the ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. We have a voice, brethren and sisters. God give it to us. And we had better use it. So let the voice giver himself hear our voice. It's important. It's just the right response to God. Another reason in the text referred to is prayer gets God's ear. I cry, I pray, he hears me. You see, it gets his ear, doesn't it? There's three verbs here. I referred to the two in relation to David. I pray, I cry aloud. But there's a verb in relation to God. God hears. What does he hear? He hears prayer. No prayer, no hearing. No prayer, no ear of God. Prayer, ear of God. That's how important it is. You get his ear. He commands prayer. He will certainly hear prayer. If it's needful for our soul, he won't withhold his ear if we pray and seek him. If we honor him and recognize him as a present, living, and great reality and acknowledge him with our voice, he has promised to hear us. What can be more important than that? The Creator, Redeemer, the Almighty, who hears his creatures. What could be more wonderful than that? What could be more blessed and sweet than that? To have the ear of God. If you get his ear, you get his goodness, his grace, his kindness, and all that he has. You get his ear. That's how important prayer is. You know, the church is not all about getting the ear of men. It nearly seems to be the most dominant thing in evangelical circles that we need to get the ears of the men. The people need to hear. We need to have their ears in here, and they need to hear. No, the most important thing that we need is the ear of God. And that's what the church is about. Getting that ear. If we get that ear, we will see pride brought down. If we get that ear, we will see our souls blessed by the word. If we get that ear, we will see sinners converted. It's the ear of God. And the prayer meeting is the powerhouse of the church. To be heard by the Almighty, to be acquainted with him by prayer, the infinite one, the thrice holy one, what can be more important than that? So the importance of prayer then. God commands it. It's food to the soul, as food is to the body. It is the right and proper and logical and the kind approach to reality, to God. And it gets his ear, the ear of the eternal and the almighty. You see then why David, evening and morning and at noon, prays. Do you see why the apostles on Christ says, pray always, pray without ceasing.